Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. For today's podcast in our journey through the book of Romans, today's teaching is entitled, Unmute Your Faith. So prepare your hearts for an encouraging and challenging message from God. Enjoy, and God bless.
I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited about the word. Pastor Jasper has a clock on me, so I'm gonna be moving pretty quick. So y'all be with me. Pray for me, amen, that God will get the glory in all things. Amen. Amen. Anybody had an exciting time last week, throughout the week? Okay, just in case you didn't, I had an exciting time throughout the week this week. I mean, God has just done so much. And you know something? It wasn't just one thing. It was just a multitude of different things that God has done in my life and has shown me. And I thank him for this time. I thank you for this opportunity because we could have been dead and gone. Amen. Wasn't promised today, but he decided to give it to us anyway. Amen. Amen. Turn with me over to Romans. We've been walking through Romans for quite a while, and there's always something to learn. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Romans, the 10th chapter. Bless your name, God. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, God. Romans, the 10th chapter. Let's look over it, starting at the very first verse. And it reads, Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaketh this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend unto the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Thank you, Lord. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart of one believes, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believeth on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, gospel of peace, who bring a glad tidings and good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sounds have gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation, and I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold in saying, I was found by those who did not seek me, and I was made manifested to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, everybody say Israel, all day long I have stretched my hand to a disobedient and contrary people. Contrary people. Man, God is so good. He loves us so much. Even when we fall short. Even when we wake up with the wrong mindset. Even when I forget to say, Lord, I thank you. Even when I go to my job and just assume, just out of habit, know that I got a good thing going. It was his mercy and grace that brought you where you are. It was him, and it was through faith. Amen. We're going to deal with the subject, unmute your faith. Amen. Unmuting your faith. Amen. The scripture is kind of comical, to tell you the truth, because he's talking to the elite. He's talking to his chosen ones. He's not talking to folks that's not saved. He's not talking to ones that he didn't take in his own bosom and say, you are mine, you'll be my nation. He's talking to the ones that he set aside as being special. But Paul says, this is awesome. Paul says, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. They may be saved. Let's look in the history of this. Listen, back then, way, way, way back then, they had to actually sacrifice animals for their righteousness, right? They had to sacrifice. Something had to bleed. Something had to die in order for them to be, just for their sins to be forgiven. Just for their sins to be forgiven. Something had to die. You know, we can preach right there all day long. But God won't let me go right there all day long. So we're going to keep moving on. Something had to die in order for someone to live. If you ain't shouting out your shoes right now that something had to die for you to be alive today, wow. Yes, Lord, they'll get it in a minute. They'll get it in a minute. Listen, to mute something means that you have to take away the very thing that it was created to do, and that is to make sound. In order for me to mute a TV, in order for me to mute a radio, I have to take away the very thing it was created to do. I got to take it away from it. Now, with that radio or that TV being muted, something's wrong with it. That means that if the TV is turned off, although there's a picture that's shown on the screen, it is still to no effect. Although the radio is loud and it has this, now you turned it down, all the radio becomes is something you put on your desk to hold the papers down. It is to none effect to anyone if there's no voice, if there's no sound, if there's no sound. Back then, you know, when Adam, thank you, Lord, when Adam sinned, the sound was turned down. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry, I can't follow this. The sound was turned down, and when the sound was turned down, God said, I got to work this out. I have to work this out. So meanwhile, this is what I'm going to do. Because something has to die in order for you to be free, I'm going to allow you, and that's when he told Moses, now you tell the people this is what they're going to do. They're going to sacrifice an animal, and that's for their sins now. And this is a ritualistic practice, but I need for this to be done because something has to die in order for them to live. So he said, he put this thing in place. He put it in place, lined it up, and say, I want you to line up, and you're going to do this. But one thing about us, we get stuck on something so long, we think it's natural. We think that's what God really wants us to do all the time. But if you read the scripture, if you start in Genesis, it's good if you read the Bible for all you want that just come to hear folks preach, hallelujah. But if you read the scripture, you'll see that throughout the scripture, all the way up till they got to this point where Jesus himself was coming on the scene, he warned them about a Savior. Not one time did he leave them blinded about the fact that there would be an answer. There's going to be an answer, but I need for you to stay right here. Go on and sacrifice. You know something? That was the hardest thing in the world to do, because some people had the riches and they can get them a pure lamb and they can lay it before God and they can sacrifice that lamb and they were righteous. Amen. Others couldn't do that. So God said, well, listen, I don't want everybody to be left out. So some of y'all can do a little dove and you can do a little small animals. I still will accept that. But you still have to abide by this. The little simple things. Unmuting your faith. We're going to get there. We're going to get there real soon. Hebrews says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of the things not seen. That's Hebrews 1, 11 and 1. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. So if that scripture is true, it was difficult for them throughout all that time to please God. No matter how much they sacrificed, no matter what they did, it just didn't meet the qualifications for righteousness, man. So he decided, listen, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to turn around, and I'm already preparing a Messiah. I'm preparing somebody to come on the scene, and I'm going to allow him to give up his life for you. The Jews were saying, well, what do you mean? Because I sacrifice all the time. I line myself up with your will. I line myself up with your ways because this is what Moses told us to do. But you didn't hear the whole story because I said I had an answer to your problem. I never want you to work so hard all your life. You don't get it yet. I never meant for you to struggle through your situation for an extended period of time. I have an answer for you, but you just got to wait on it. You got to wait right where you are and when I deem necessary. You know, some last time I checked, he was supreme. He was all-knowing. He was God all by himself. He didn't need your help with anything. And he still said, if you just wait on me, I'll make you kings and I'll make you priests. I'll put you above your situation. I'll put you above your problem. I'll put you above everything that you're going through. I'm going to put you there, but you've got to wait in the muck and the mire for a minute. People going over to the faucet and they want to rinse themselves off. I didn't say you needed to be clean yet. I got that covered. You just keep sacrificing. You just keep sacrificing. You just keep sacrificing. And then I will deliver you in due season. Amen. Matthew 21 and 21 and 21 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, surely I say unto you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what is done to the fig tree. And everybody know that story, right? If not, you can study it later on. You will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, it says, but also if you say to this mountain, they'll get it later, Lord. Also, if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. I can sit in my house all day long and be going through something and never say a word and will die in my situation. Until I speak to that situation, until I make a sound that will please God, sometimes a good shout will cause things to do right. That sound is what you need, but we've been muted in our faith so long, we're used to waddling and crying out unnecessary stuff when he's already gave you the answer. The answer is yours, but you got to do something about it. Lord, you mean to tell me I don't have to carry a 200-pound sheep across the desert and lay it on the altar and sacrifice it and bleed it out and say this and say, no, you don't have to do that no more. I've got an answer for you. Just wait on it. Just wait on it. Romans 10, looking at the first through the fourth verse, it says, I desire that Israel be saved. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Sometimes you mean well. You ever had that employee that's really motivated, but he ain't really doing nothing? You had that one that says, that they look like they doing real good. They walk the halls all the time. I said, that brother making me some money today. They making some money today. But when you look at the books, you say, He ain't did nothing all day. He clocked in on time and he clocked out on time, but something in between is missing. It's missing. That's the part that God was saying, something's missing. Your situation has always been there, and the answer is over here, but what are you going to do in between the two? What are you going to do in between the two? It says, no more need for a blood sacrifice. He, Christ, has been sent and has completed that task. He has completed the task. Romans 10, 8 through 13 says, receive righteousness by faith. Righteousness by faith. Righteousness by faith. Now, that is a righteousness by faith that has made it easier. I want to give you back the thing that you were swindled out of during the time of Adam. Yeah, you got cheated. Okay? And it says, I want to give back that thing that you were swindled out in the time of Adam, and I will give you your sound back. I will give you your voice through faith. Through faith. Listen. These people were so ingrained in what they did. They did this all the time. They are the elect. You know what I'm saying? God's people. Even today, how the Israelites are here and everybody else is just nations, right? They are here. But God's saying, Paul was saying, I want you to be saved. I want you I want you to believe that I sent is for you. You know what the hard part they had? You know the hard part of this is that they were the elite. Then God said, I'm going to change this thing. I don't know why they were surprised when he said it all through Scripture. If they really studied Scripture, it said that there would be a Messiah coming on the scene. As a matter of fact, let's back up real quick. Look at Romans 9 in the very last verse in chapter 9. It says, that's verse 32. It says, why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumble at the stumbling stone. He was coming anyway. He's been coming the whole time. But you know what? You know what they couldn't handle? That God wrapped him in the paper that they didn't like. You ever gave somebody a gift and it was wrapped up in a paper bag and they looked at it like, are you serious? You couldn't go get some of that good paper to wrap my gift up in? They didn't think about what was in the box, but they looked at the wrapping around the box. So your toilet paper wrapped gift was not good enough for them. So what he does is, he said, take this gift. Well, I don't want that gift. Okay. Well, take this gift. No, I'll do it out. I'll give it to my daughter. Take this gift. Well, Dad, I thank you for my gift. And when he opened it up, it's pure gold. Now, Mud and Jeff looking like, what's going on? How come you ain't give me? But I did offer you. I offered you Christ, but because you didn't think he came from a kingly state, because you saw his background, you thinking, wait a minute, this is a carpenter's son. He's supposed to be a royal priesthood to get us saved. They couldn't accept it because it was wrapped in the wrong paper. Sometimes God has your blessing right in front of you. But because it's wrapped in the wrong, you'll skip over that all day long. He put it in the middle of the aisle, and you'll trip over it in the middle of the morning, and you still say, I wish they'd get this thing out of my way. But when reality is, you need what's inside that box. You need what's inside that box in order for your life to be fulfilled. But you got to stop skipping over the box. Because it ain't pretty. Stop skipping over the box. Christ got crucified. It was the most gruesome thing in the world for him to be sacrificed on the cross. It was a gruesome time. But through that thing, the greatest blessing in the world. We have the most blended family in the world. You just have to receive. Amen. Second thing the Jews didn't handle. The second part of it, they didn't like the fact that God had sent the information. They had sent a repairman in to fix this problem, but they didn't want the upgrade because the upgrade wasn't exactly the way they wanted it to be upgraded. Wait. We are your chosen people. First of all, you send a man that has the wrong garments on, and you say that is the answer to my problem. That's the answer to my problem. I can't fathom that. You know why? Because you spend most of your time dealing with worldly stuff and not dealing with spiritual stuff. When your mindset is always on the things of the world and you don't seek ye first, seek ye first. When you wake up, if I seek ye first the kingdom, all these other things shall be added unto you. Everything else will fall in line if I seek ye first. First thing. You know, I learned a lot from these young adults. Like Chris, he's way out there when it comes to, he just, everything got to be spiritual. But I love that about him, because he's always talking about prayer. He's all about talking about, you know, they just don't understand. And sometimes he'll get in trouble because he's so spiritual. And we look at it, it's like, what is wrong with him? What's wrong with you? He said, I'm just trying to be what God created me to be. I'm just trying to do what God created me to do. But you know what, Pastor Barron, they don't understand me. They'll never understand you until they become more spiritual. They'll never understand where you are until they get where you are. Some people are not even striving to get there. They're not striving. But having that type of faith, that means his volume is up. Sometimes your volume is a little bit too strong for folks. They can't handle it because you've been unmuted long time ago. So you're the strange one in the room. You're that missing link in the room, and everybody shoos away from you because you're sounding off the goodness of God. You're sounding it off. God wants us to be unmuted. Listen to me. The Israelite, right here. We were the chosen nation, and now you want to extend this out to someone else. We've been with you the whole time. We walk with you this, and then all of a sudden, you want to come on the scene and you want to extend this out to everybody. Don't that sound like a brat? Oh, I'm sorry. Don't that sound like a child that's been by themselves all their life, and then all of a sudden a new child came in and said, how dare you buy them the same toy I got? How dare, he got a bite too? Yeah, he got a bite too. I'm going to bless this child just as much as I bless that child. He might not look like you, or she might not act like you, but she's still my child. How dare you come to the Father and say, well, why are you blessing him? When, wait a minute, you ain't birthed nobody in this world. I brought all this together from the beginning. I never needed your opinion, and I don't need it now. That's the things we have to stop. We flirt with some things, and to walk up to God and say the things we say sometimes. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. Walk into the altar. Because he said the altar is open, you can come boldly before the throne. You know what that boldness means? That means getting on your knees and walking in like this. Lord, I know you busy right now, Lord, but if you got a little time, Lord, if you got a little time, that's called humbleness. That's the boldness he's talking about. Humbly becoming before the throne of grace, before the Father, and saying, listen, Lord, I don't mean to bother you, and I know other folks got other issues going on, but I just need to talk to you. Can I just sit by your shoe? Can I just sit by your leg for just a minute? You know something, God, I don't even want you to say nothing. I just want a hug. You have your little kid run up and just to get a hug from mama or daddy, and they run off, and dad do a little bit like that. Like, that's my boy. That's my boy. What did he want? I don't know, but it don't matter. He just wanted to come up and lay up on the dad for a minute. And now I'm thinking in my mind, I got to do something for that boy. Honey, where the paycheck? What the checkbook at? Come on, boy, get in the car. Let me go take you to get something. But he never did anything. He just wanted to be up under his father. He just wanted to be under his father. In Romans, it said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are non-Israelites. Because all day long, I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. You know something, just in that portion, we can stay all day long. That verse right here, thank you, Lord. Let's look right here at the 18th verse. But I say, I have not heard Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out of all the earth and their words to the end of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. There was a young preacher said that his granddaughter, one of his granddaughters, was real fond of him. But she got to the point where that's my granddaddy, and I'll deal with him when I want to deal with him. And she'll run around and play, and he'll like, well, come on, give granddad a hug. But I don't want to give granddaddy a hug. She started doing her thing. So what he did is, when the other grandkids came over, he put such a love for the rest of them. How y'all doing? He gave so much attention to them, she bogarted her way through the crowd to get to daddy. All right. Because she wanted to be up under daddy. But it was on her rules and her terms. It was by her terms that she wanted to be by daddy, by granddaddy. Isn't that remarkable that we only want God to bless us the way we see it in our minds? I'm not willing. Lord, you talking about waiting 4 years for somebody to bless me with a husband? 4 years? Can I get the other one to upgrade that go 2 years? But you realize the one with 2 years got defects. See, the software inside the one with 2 years is not the updated software, so you end up with a virus that look good but don't work. He looked good on the outside. Everybody said, you sure got a nice, yes, Lord. But he ain't worth the salt that's put inside the food. And then you wonder why. I'm sorry if I maybe that went a little too far. Maybe that went too far. She's the most beautiful thing in the world and don't want nothing to do with your God. Yeah, you satisfied your flesh because that's what you saw. But now you're struggling. And in your mind, I'm divorcing. Oh, whoa. You made that choice. This is what God said. I said I'll bless it if you choose it. And if I bless it, that makes us covenant that you got to line up with. Whether it's broke or not, that's your new toy. That's that thing that's going to be in your life forever. So if it's broke, blame it on yourself and try to get it fixed. That's when you take it to the altar. Lord, I know I picked this toy out, but it was under the tree. But I marked it with an X. You shouldn't have picked it up. But because I am your father, because I love you, if you bring it boldly before my altar, you lay it there and say, Lord, I leave him before you. I leave her before you. I leave my job, my situation, my circumstances. I lay it before your altar and I ask that you'll fix those things that need to be fixed so they'll be a part of me and that I'll be a better Christian, that I'll be a better man of God, I'll be a better woman of God if you would fix it for me. God wants our faith to stop being, we got to stop muting our faith. We don't believe God anymore. We don't believe what he says in his word. You know why? Because I've been burnt last time I prayed for this brother and he didn't get healed. Can I be a little rough, Pastor? Just for a second. Get over it. Just get over it. It happened. He didn't get delivered. You don't know what the situation is. You don't know whether it was his faith. You don't know whether it was your faith. You don't know what the situation was. All you know is you went and you prayed and he didn't get healed. So you say, I ain't doing that no more. And you back off. And guess what? Now Chris got to work overboard because now he got to go down the street and deliver this one. And he got to run over here. Many people are running all over the place trying to get somebody saved. And you sitting on the front porch drinking sweet tea. Because I don't want to be hurt anymore. That's my flesh. I feed it the most, so it hurts the most. So that's what I'm gonna protect. But your spirit man said, I've been wanting to get in the game for 20 years. I've been wanting to fight for you for 20 years. The plan is easy. Everything we do is by faith. So why have some and don't have the music up? Why have it and don't turn it all the way up? I used to get mad when I hear people boom, 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 and they're playing. But guess what? They're using the maximum out of their radio. Now I look, I say, yeah, that's how you throw it. That's how you play it. Because if they got 1,000 watts, they're going to make sure they got 99 and a half. Now, they might be death afterwards, but reality is they got all they wanted out of that gift that they have. And God's sitting up there saying, out of the mouth of babes, they don't even know me, and they're doing what I want them to do. You know something? When that person gets saved, they're going to walk in God, and you're going to wonder why you got left behind. They're going to walk in this thing because they've been doing it all their life. Satan told them they can do anything, so they did anything. They turned around and got saved. Well, God said, I can do anything, so they do anything. It's all there. It's in the scripture. It's in the word. But we sit there and we hold back. People, he wants us to be, he wants Israel to be saved so that they'll be able to spread the gospel. This is a mission work. We're all missionaries. They said, well, the scripture said, unless they had a pastor, it said something about a preacher. It said in the scripture about a preacher. But if you did some studying, it will tell you about preaching means proclaiming. I didn't want to run to the pulpit. I want to sit in the back. But he told me to run to the pulpit. I slide my way over to the pulpit because I said, Lord, I'm not right. I'm not ready yet. But I called you, man of God, to be here. This is where I want you. Well, Lord, there are others out there, but I need evangelists, and I need prophetess, I need teachers, I need intercessors, I need everybody has their place. So stop complaining and get in your place. Get in your rightful place as whoever God has charged you to be, and be that person and be the best. And guess what? Pastor Jasper ain't going to always smile at what I do. He ain't going to always tell me, good job, bro. He might say, you might have to sit down next time. But it's not going to hurt me because guess what? This is what God calls me to do. He told me who I am. I know who I am. I know the capabilities he's given me. It is simple. But I can't be my wife. She got a different level of anointing. That's hallelujah. That's different. That's different. And you know what? I stopped trying to figure it out. I don't mimic that. So just be. Stop mimicking and just be who you called to be. I can't shout like somebody, but I sure can wave my hands like never before. I can hold my hand up the whole service and everybody else to drop theirs because I've been anointed to worship God this way. I've been anointed to wave and just wave. You know something? Some about your wave now is so anointed that people are being delivered. People are set free. I believe when Peter walked and his shadow changed, okay, Lord, if his shadow changed, my wave going to change. My wave going to change some lives now. My speech, everything about me will change the people around me if I saturate myself and I unmute my faith and I finally just open up and says, Lord, do what you have to do through me. He wants us to unmute our faith. But that last part, that last scripture to me, it just sets me back in order. He's talking about all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Out of all I've done for you, some folks outside of the body of Christ don't have half of what you have, but you're still whining and crying and about issues I told you I already got you the answer to. But Lord, you said that yesterday. You said that last week, but I still said it. What you just told me by that statement is that I'm not worthy. I'm not willing or I'm not able to do this. Your faith causes me not to be, I can do all things, but I can only do what you have faith to do. It is so simple. You think God's going to bogart his way in there and do some miraculous things for you? When he gave you a mandate to trust me, to have faith, they're looking for you, Gary. Somebody's out there in the workplace looking for Gary to walk the hall. Gary going to smile everywhere he go. He going to smile and he going to say something smart. That's Gary. He going to say something smart. But that's his anointing. Because when he says something smart, first thing you do is you want to talk to him. He's just a magnet for folk because he just gets under your skin. But it's that type of itch you want to get itched by. When you see him, he got something to say. What is it? Lord, I'm praying for you, Pastor. I'm praying for you. But I thank God for your husband because he has transformed my life to want to find out what he has to say. He's a setter up. He sets things up. And that's when he's able to pour into your lives. So everybody's anointed differently. Everybody has to. But all we're asking today is that you use the faith that God has given you. Use it. Use it. He needs you to proclaim the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. I'm not eloquent enough. Guess what, Moses? I'm going to get Aaron to do some things, but you still charged to do. You still going to do. You still got to be there. You're not going to sit back and watch your brother do everything. But you're going to stand out and you're going to do what I've called you to do. And yes, it might not sound eloquent, but it'll be the most powerful thing known to the world. Because guess what? Now he's in history. The very one that had a speech impediment, it's in scripture. As a guide, as one that you can mimic your life after. If Moses did it, I can do it. I can do it. I'm not as eloquent as this brother or that sister. But those one that I talk to understand my language. They understand, you know, I want my people to come around me. I got something to say. You know, I got something to say. If it's one or two people, stop looking for the multitudes and look for the few. That's power, the few. There is so much power in the few. But we run to the multitudes because that's what everybody else is doing. But who's going to preach to the others? Who's going to do it? Why not you? Why not you? Faith. Unmute your faith today.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. We hope you are encouraged and empowered by today's message. If God has impacted your life through our church, we want to hear about it. So please email us at amen@r4sq.org. If you would like more information about our church, please visit our website at r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week and God bless.